of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Today, the 6th of January, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning. Linda's on assignment this morning, but I have a extremely full show, and Jared's at the helm with the weather. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. It's currently 37 degrees here downtown.
Oh, no.
Today we have a 70% chance of showers with a high of 48 and a low of 35. Tomorrow we have, it's going to be mostly sunny, and then we're going to have a chance of showers later on with a high of 55, a low of 40. Friday we have a slight chance of showers in the morning, then it's going to become mostly sunny with a high of 55, a low of 34. And Saturday should be mostly sunny with a high of 58 and a low of 35.
Okay, and the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Very full show today, so we're going to start off with Robert Burke, who's going to tell us the best movies of 2020 on January 6th.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go, buddy.
Better late than never, I guess.
Better late than never.
Yeah, and there's still a ton of movies from 2020 that I haven't seen. Well, not a ton, but there are some that I just didn't catch. And then there's some that really aren't having their, like, big releases until 2021. Examples are, like, Nomadland and Minari. Those are two particular movies that are huge Oscar contenders. Nomadland is actually looking to win Best Picture.
What's that about?
Nomadland, it's about, it has, what's her name? Frances McDormand in it. And it's about a woman who becomes a modern-day nomad after losing her house.
You know what? I did read about this, mm-hmm. and she travels from spot to spot.
Yeah.
In her, is it her car or a van?
I think it's a van, yeah.
It's a van.
And the movie uses actual real-life nomads instead of actors. Yeah.
Yeah. That,
it looks fascinating, and it's getting exceptional reviews.
Or anything she is. When she turns it on,
there's...
It's hard to find a better actress.
And Minari is also the other one. Have you heard of that one?
No.
So Minari follows the story of a Korean family that moves to Kentucky, I believe. It's either Kentucky or some state in the South. And it's about them just kind of like adjusting to American life.
Well, in Kentucky, too. I mean, I hope it's not Appalachia, because they might have a tough time adjusting there.
Yeah. It's a very, it's known to be like a very quiet movie. It's also getting great reviews. It's also a front runner. Interestingly,
does it have captions in it?
I don't believe so. I think most of the movie is in English. Something about that, though. The Golden Globes actually deemed that it couldn't be nominated, because Golden Globes has a weird rule where your film can't be nominated for Best Film and Best Foreign Language Film. That happened to Parasite last year. Parasite won Foreign Language Film but wasn't nominated for Best Drama. Minari this year also has the same thing, despite the fact that the movie was shot in America, is in English. The only difference is it has a mostly Korean cast. But a lot of people were calling out, like, Call Me By Your Name, which was nominated for Best Drama, despite the fact that that was partially in Italian and was shot in a different country, but it had American actors. So a lot of people are actually really mad at the Golden Globes right now for that decision.
And that makes a lot of people, you know, the Golden Globes.
It's the least significant awards show, but...
Yeah. Okay, so what else we have?
So in terms of best movies of the year, one of them... I'm just going to say my personal favorites. You know, these aren't objectively the best, but these are just what I really enjoyed from this year. One of them just came out last week, and a lot of people have seen it, but as we were talking about on air before, it sounds like you haven't seen it, was Soul.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
So this one is directed by Pete Docter, and Pete Docter directed Inside Out. He directed Up. He directed Monsters, Inc. He's my favorite Pixar director. And it tells the story of a jazz musician who is a teacher for a middle school.
Is this animated?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he gets his chance to star in a basically like a quartet playing the piano with a very famous jazz saxophonist. So he's super excited about it, but as he's celebrating, he falls down into a hole and he actually dies. And then the rest of the movie is about his soul trying to get back into his body so that he can finish living out the greatest day of his life. And for a Pixar movie, this one, I mean, they all go pretty deep. This one goes really deep. It has a lot to do with existentialism and your life after, and it goes into a lot of deeper themes for a kid's movie. The animation is also really beautiful, and it has a message that, like, a lot of people can relate to. And I think this message in particular, usually with Pixar movies, you'll get a message that is half for kids, half for adults. This message seems like it's really predominantly for adults, because it's all about, like, what you're passionate about and why you're passionate about it and where your real passion lies. And I would highly recommend it.
Well, you know, if you... Joe Comente is also with us here this morning. Finding your real passion and being able to do it in your life is a gift, because from then on your life is it's not work. I mean, if you can do that, this is your passion. What you do right now is with the movies, and if you can continue this through your life, it's not work.
Yeah,
it becomes your life, but but it's something you love.
Yeah.
Now you just have to find somebody that wants to share that with you. You know. Anyway, I know it's way down the line.
That got pretty. That was pretty philosophical there, Carl.
Yeah, well, you know what? You used the word existentialism.
What's in that coffee right there?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we do have some Jack in the other room. No. That sounds really. You know, I don't look at animated movies, but you have got me now that I will probably look at this movie.
Yeah. Soul was very high in budget. It had around a $200 million budget, and they dropped it directly to Disney Plus. It was supposed to come out in theaters in June this year, which it was delayed as a result of the pandemic. It was delayed and delayed. It was supposed to come out on Thanksgiving, and then they decided they're just going to release it on Christmas Day, Disney Plus, free of charge. That was after the whole Mulan debacle, where it was $30 on top of the fee to watch Mulan, and nobody liked Mulan.
Yeah, I paid that.
Yeah, me too.
Because you said it was a great movie.
I know I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't like it.
Oh,
you must have
right?
paid for it for some other reason.
Nah, I don't know why. You know why.
You're contributing to the economy.
There you go, stimulating the economy.
Yeah, that was me. You know what? And I can do that now with my latest stimulus check, except it's not even to buy a dog. You know, if you want a Labradoodle, that's $600 you got. Did you get $600?
No, I didn't. I'm 17.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah. I'm 18 in a month, though.
Okay. Anyway.
A month from today,
okay,
actually.
What's another one? Because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
This is your last
so
one.
So the other one, this is my favorite movie of the year. It has a bad word in the title, though. So.
What's the word? I mean, mouth the word to me. Oh, yeah. You can't say that.
Yeah. So it is SH blank T House. That's the name of the movie.
Okay.
So it's actually a super small budget movie. It was made for $15,000 by a college student. You still laughing over that one?
No, it's the fact I just read an article that said 10 low-budget movies that have made hundreds of millions
Look
of dollars.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Okay, 15,000. Okay, what's that about?
So 15,000, and it follows the story of a college freshman named Alex who's feeling very lonely, and one night he connects with this girl at a party, and it follows the story of them over that night and moving forward. It's a really great movie. It's directed, written, edited by, and the star is all one guy. His name is Cooper Rafe. He was a college student at Occidental, and he actually shot a version of this movie during spring break when he was bored with his friends using the equipment at Occidental without permission. So it was him, his girlfriend, and his friend. And his friend was holding the camera and the boom pole, and him and his girlfriend were in front of the camera, and he shot it. It was 50 minutes. He shot it for no money. It was a spring break, like, I'm bored. Let's do something.
Yeah.
And once he was done with it, he sent it to a producer, and he said, I bet you won't watch this. And the producer watched it and said that he wanted to fund a feature version of the movie.
Well, you know what? I wish you'd sent it to me, because I could have raised $15,000. Because how much is it made probably by at this point?
It's made a pretty decent amount of money. I mean, it's an indie movie, and it was in theaters for a bit of time. Now you can rent it for $7 on Amazon Prime. I would highly recommend doing that. It's my favorite movie of the year. And I think it's just where I'm at in life, because it's about, you know, going into college as a freshman, which I'm about to do in several months, but. Yeah, I think it's really great.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And Robert's in here every Wednesday. Most Wednesdays.
Most Wednesdays.
Sometimes.
Not the
last two, because he... What happened with your COVID test?
It came back inconclusive, and then I got another one, and that was negative, so I was fine. Yeah.
That's why you couldn't come. So, all right. Well, look, have a great day. Is it school day today?
Distance. Day? Yeah, distance, we're doing full distance for the first week and then going back in person.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break and get right back with Joe Comente.
Merry Christmas from Reading Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility. On behalf of all RU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember, holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember, never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Reading Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2019 and wishes you and your family a prosperous new year.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, seniors, veterans, business owners since 1993. Judy Maxwell knows what she's talking about, whether it's in insurance or financial matters. And in this topsy-turvy time and in this coming year, do you have your investments in the right spot? Give Judy a call at 221-0441, and she's going to make sure that you're taken care of, not only in the financial side, but in insurance questions also. Okay, I'm here with Joe Comente, the new chairman. Can I say that? Chairman of the...
Chairperson.
No, you're chairman because you're a guy, as opposed to chairwoman.
Understood.
Okay. Of the Board of Supervisors, yesterday was a somewhat busy meeting for the first meeting of the year.
Yeah, we tend to have busy meetings. There's a lot going on. Obviously, in the world of COVID and the world of governing in COVID, there are a lot of emotions that run very high, and it's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very unsettling time for anyone who's going through this, no matter what you're doing. This is just an unsettling time.
Last year that remains nameless. The year that remains nameless.
Yeah, that would work for me.
Yeah. Okay. Was one of just total chaos. Fires, COVID, the election, the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then a runoff election that was just settled last night.
Yeah.
Life is going to be interesting here.
Life is usually interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been my experience anyway.
Well, I meant this in the way of the Chinese curse. May your life be interesting. Well, our lives in the United States are going to be interesting over this next 6 months, year, to see how this all settles out.
Correct.
But all of that, but the one thing that we have as citizens, and especially... is we have the ability to impact on our local.
Correct.
Our local policies.
Correct.
And our neighbors are running our government now.
Yes.
The board and the city council.
Which is how it should be. And that is really what I've always taught my kids, that's really where you put your focus. Because if you want to really impact change and have influence, a positive influence, it is locally. Right? But you have to take the time to invest in that.
Yeah, it does. Now, yesterday you all voted to there was a motion to open the board chambers again.
We made a motion to put it on the agenda.
Okay,
put it on which the agenda. We call for a special meeting, which we'll do this afternoon at 3:30.
And what does that entail then? When we say opening it up again, that doesn't mean everybody crowds in.
No, I can tell you what my interpretation of it is. Because I am really looking, and I think we all have to do this, we have to look at how we're going to coexist with COVID-19. And the World Health Organization has been calling for this for the last 6 months, basically saying that this is not going to go away. And when it does go away, another one's going to show up. I understand that we didn't know what we were doing in the beginning. Nobody did. But we're almost a year in now. We need a game plan. We need a playbook. We didn't have one. We have to have one. And that's really what I'm personally, in my position in governance, is really what I want to do. I want to create a playbook so that we have some things to look at. And to me, opening the board chambers, we're an essential business. So as such, people should have complete access to us. Now, they can certainly do that via Zoom, and they can do it via the Internet, which will continue. They can do all that. But I think it's really important that people have face-to-face. And maybe that's because of my age, but I really enjoy the face-to-face. And even if someone is yelling at me, I appreciate that that's their right to do that. And I should be able to look at them, and they should be able to look at me. And I think we need to do this very safely. So to me, the primary concern is – protecting the staff, protecting the board, and protecting the citizens. So we've organized the boardroom where we can do that, is my belief. And we've done it before.
Yeah. When you have people at the back of the chamber and you all are spread out in the front, I mean, that's a long distance.
Yeah, and we will put in a limit and I don't know what the exact number is. We'll talk about that this afternoon, but 20 to 25 at a time so people can cycle through.
You mean 20 to 25 in the boardroom?
Correct.
Okay, but spread out probably.
Correct, yeah. Okay. And we set up the seats so that they could do that. We will require masks except if it's exempted by state mandate, which is you have a medical reason, you have an emotional reason, you have a physical reason, whatever. But really, my goal in all of this is not to usurp, whether I agree with the governor or not, it's not to usurp any of that authority. It is for us to start developing a tangible game plan for how we're going to manage this into 2021, how we get our businesses back open, how we get to a point where we are coexisting again, because it's what the World Health Organization is telling us to do, how we coexist with this. So today we'll discuss that, and we'll see what the board decides. But again, my intention is to make sure it's as absolutely safe as possible for the board members, for staff. Staff won't even be there. Staff will be will remote staff in because we have active cases in the county now, in the building. So we will.
Well, how do you handle the speaker's card? Because you have to fill out a card, right?
No, they don't have to fill out a card. They can just come up.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no
– whoever's next in line.
Yeah, and we just ask them to do it orderly, and they do.
Yeah.
And they just come up. They speak their piece, and then they move on. One of the things I've asked beginning yesterday was you have 3 minutes, but if you have more you want to say, just pass it to the person behind you. A lot of people do everything on their phone, so they have what they want to say on their phone. So if I'm up there and my 3 minutes runs out, I'm going to hand it to you, and you're going to come up and finish it for me. So our intention is not to cut people short. It's just to maintain some consistency. Everybody gets 3 minutes, but what you have to say is important. And, again, even if you're just venting, I personally understand that. You know, sometimes you just need to vent because this has been out of our control for a long time now.
Well, I vented on the PPP to you this morning.
And justifiably so.
And also to Congressman LaMalfa's office, too.
Good.
The face-to-face in the chambers is so important, and I think that you're going to go on. I don't see it not happening. Let me put it that way. I think that if you can count to three, I think it's going to be there. But your plan for opening the county, and I'm not going to have you delve down into that because it's still early, but I know you've been thinking about it. So when you say opening the county's businesses, what do you envision?
We're going to discuss it. That's on our agenda for next week, so I'm going to leave that there. But I'm going to go back to what I said before. It's time for us to develop a game plan, a playbook. How are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. Because what we have learned – and what, the World Health Organization has just one entity telling us, you can't just go into lockdown. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Early on, we didn't know what we were dealing with, so it made some sense. But we have to learn to balance this. It's like any major disaster. You have a major fire. You adapt your behavior to deal with the fact that you're in a major fire, and then the people fighting that fire develop strategies that may be different than what they had before because they learned from this fire. And really, that's the kind of mindset that I'd love our community to get to. Quite simply, we are in a high surge danger for this virus. That's like a high flood danger. Most people during a high flood danger probably wouldn't race to the river to watch it rise. Or if it was a high storm danger, most people wouldn't go out with flip-flops and a pair of shorts. They would adapt and adjust accordingly. And I think that's what we need to do in terms of our personal behaviors, in terms of the way we're going to look at this, because we need to develop a strategy that allows us to coexist with whatever comes down the pike. Just like we've done it with fires, just like we've done it with snowstorms, we have a virus. And it's not the last virus. As you and I are older guys, we've seen this many, many times in our lives. We need to be prepared with a playbook for the next one.
And for people who are saying, well, who's the World Health Organization has lied to the American people? And they have lied or spit out a bunch of different facts. If they're putting out a fact that can be used by saying we have to learn to coexist, if we have to learn to coexist, doesn't mean hiding and locking down. That means is finding a solution so we can keep our, we can open more businesses or give more more people into businesses, make it more fair.
Correct.
As opposed to the big box stores being able to be open, but the smaller stores only being able to put 50% in, all of those things.
Correct.
You know, so it's kind of like this. If you can find one part of something they're saying and say, well, wait a minute, the World Health Organization said we should do this.
Right. And I think that, unfortunately, we've become so divided over this issue. And I discussed the last time I was here. This became such a political hot potato. But now it's time to just back away from that. I don't know what news sources to believe. I don't think most people do. But I do trust some medical community. I have close friends in the medical community, in our community. I trust what they have to say. And I'm going to look for those pearls. Your World Health Organization, you may have done a lot wrong, but there's probably some things you did right. I'm going to look for those things you did right and look at how we can incorporate them into how we're going to live our lives. Because this is really about how we move forward as a county. And Assembly Member Dolly wrote a letter with a bunch of other Assembly people to the governor about not using OSHA and not using ABC to regulate what's going on. Brian did the same about making restaurants essential businesses. The other day I was in Holiday, and I bought a sandwich. And I did a little shopping, and I thought, you know, I could just open this up. I mean, I'd save the ticket, so I make sure I paid for it. But I could eat my sandwich while I'm walking around.
Yeah.
I'm inside. I'm eating a sandwich. So you start to think about this going, okay, how do we make this work in our world? And I think if we just stop fighting each other, because that is what's going on in a lot of cases, and I'm not saying that it isn't justified, but if we stop fighting each other and look at, okay, how do we bring these worlds together? How do we – if I run a restaurant, I want it to be safe. I don't want to be the epicenter of an outbreak. So that's the kind of mindset that we really need to start working on, and we are working on. Again, I know people, a lot of people are vocal. A lot of that's just anger and frustration. I get it. We're all angry and we're all frustrated. But at the end of the day, our job is to create a viable plan to move forward.
Okay. I'm here with Joe Comente, the new chairman of the Board of Supervisors. We're going to take a quick break and come back. This portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number. Sleep Number. One of the ways to keep yourself mentally alert, but also physically active in all these, is getting a good night's sleep. Sleep Number has proven that you get more sleep and better sleep, better quality sleep on the Sleep Number. All those figures are open for anybody to take a look at. Sleep Number has been rated number 1 and 2 by Consumer Reports. Consumer Reports, of course, doesn't take money from anybody and just measures the effectiveness of the products they look at, and they found Sleep Number beds in their category were 1 and 2. Now, right now, if you're looking for a Sleep Number, you can get quality sleep as your New Year's resolution. And now save up to $1,000 on a new Sleep Number 360 smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Our Sleep Number store is in, of course, the Target Shopping Center. The people there are great. Go on in there and find out why Linda and I have been sleeping on this bed for over 5 years, and it's the best bed we've ever had. We can adjust it to the way we want it. My Sleep Number setting is 45, and Linda's Sleep Number setting was 50 last night. So, see, we kind of flip-flopped on how we set our Sleep Number every night. That's Sleep Number. We'll be right back after these messages.
Well, I think of all the worries people seem to find, and how they're in a hurry to complicate their minds by chasing after money and dreams that can't come true. I'm glad that we are different. We've better things to do. May others plan their future. I'm busy.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Is that bump music? Oh, okay, got it. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. 7:37 in the morning, 41 degrees out there. Looks like we're going to get some rain today, which we're happy about, the 6th of January. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only area hospital with the Da Vinci surgical robotic system. And that means enables a surgeon to perform minimally invasive surgery, which means less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Only at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Joe Comente is with me this morning, chairman of the Board of Supervisors. And let's go to Nick. Nick, good morning.
Hey, it is a good morning. Hey, Joe, I wanted to make a suggestion now that you're the chair. I would like to see the supervisors, when somebody comes up during their open mic and asks a question, that they answer. Because in the past, it's just they just sit there and look at you. And it seems like at times we deserve an answer. I'd like you to take that into consideration.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Nick. Some of it is governed by what we can and cannot say because it's agendized or non-agendized. But that's certainly something that, if it's compelling enough, I can just ask Mr. Cruz, are we allowed to answer that? Or we can always just do it offline. And just to segue, one of the things we're talking about next week is doing a separate meeting on the Thursday following the Tuesday on COVID issues and allowing people to come up with 1 minute to ask a question. This is not about making a statement about how they feel about all of this, Not that that's not relevant. This just won't be the format for it. They can come and ask questions, and then we'll have a panel of people that can answer those questions. And if we can't, we'll get that answer to them as quickly as we can. So we're going to try to spin off COVID-19 because people have a lot of questions and concerns, and we really need to address that better. So we're hoping to introduce
that.
Yeah,
and it'd be a separate forum instead of taking up a whole meeting that you've got other issues that
Correct.
People
that's,
want to address.
Correct. That's the plan.
Okay, here's another quick question. Now, Measure A failed because people didn't have a stomach for a navigation center for coddling criminals, for rehabbing them, for a judge sentencing them to rehab, mainly because we don't feel those things work. But we do have a stomach for building a new jail. Would you guys consider discussing putting a measure on there strictly for a new jail?
Yeah, everything at this point in time is in discussion, but I have to be honest with you, once we entered the world of COVID, the idea of going to anybody to talk about a sales tax increase, I consider myself a reasonably courageous person, but that may be even more courageous than I'm willing to do. But yes, yeah, this, unfortunately, because of the whole COVID situation, we have not been able to address the issues that are still very relevant in our community. So it's certainly still on the table.
Yeah, well, great. I'd like you to consider that because we still have a crime problem.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, so we're talking to Joe Comente today, of course, the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, and about how do we coexist with COVID. Okay, and I think that's a good idea. Spinning off, so on Thursdays, you could meet with them at the same time and just have people come down and just, okay, what are we doing with this? At the same time, something that is in writing about how businesses can not only stay open, but continue to expand. Ed Roman put something on Facebook yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I talked to Ed.
Written by a restaurant.
I talked to
restaurant
Ed
owner. And what a telling piece that was. And if you haven't had a chance to read that, I think I shared it on our Free Fire Radio Facebook page. But what the guy said was, you know, we've done everything.
Correct.
And you walk into big box stores and other places, they don't do any of that.
No, Ed really said we brought Health and Human Services, Dr. Ranstrom and Donnell Eward, and they met early on with Ed and with Bruce Dean, and those gentlemen really provided the layout for how restaurants should run. And unfortunately, Ed got hit by ABC, had nothing to do with us. Nobody made a report on him from our organization. But that's the challenge, is we don't control the state organizations, and that's really something that needs to change.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Well, I think you're right. The looking at this year, what do you see as the, besides COVID, what do you see as the biggest challenge?
We really need to address the crime, as Nick said, the crime and homelessness situation. And I'm not saying that homeless are criminals. I'm just saying that those are two issues that we face. And it's very difficult for anyone to watch a person shooting heroin, sitting on a corner in a pile of their belongings. It's no matter whether you lean very hard to the right or very hard to the left, it's very difficult not to at least assign a human element to this person going, this was somebody's son. This was somebody's child. How did we get here? And we really have to figure that out. And there's no simple solution. We know that just throwing money at it doesn't work. But again, this is one of those things that on a local level, we need to be more engaged in. And it's certainly something that I want to address that, get people the help they need, get them housed. And then the other side of the equation is be able to hold accountable criminals. And again, I want to make very clear, I'm not saying the homeless population and the criminal population are the same.
Though there is overlap here.
Yeah, there is some overlap because what a perfect place for criminals to take advantage of people.
Do you believe that? I'm seeing these things on the tiny homes. And they're wanting to start doing something like that in the county. Is that something the county would support?
I think the biggest issue, and we talked about Project Home Key yesterday, and there were some fundamental mistakes made by the county in terms of location, and I'll just leave that right there. But really, housing, in my opinion, housing is important once a person's gone through a system, once they're in case management. So you really, you, without evaluation and without services, just providing shelter, and not that I want to leave them on shelter because I don't, but just providing shelter isn't enough. And if you really want to give someone an opportunity at a future, you have to do the case management that works them through the system that allows them to understand the value of having a place to live. Because especially when you're dealing with addiction, which is a lot of the problem, any doctor will tell you, any addict will tell you, once they're addicted, that's their life. They live for the addiction. There is no ability to make rational decisions. They live for their next fix. So the case management is so important. We do need an evaluation center. We need a place where these people can go and we can evaluate them and wrap services around them. Because a good percentage of them, I believe, because I believe in humanity, want help. And the ones that don't, I don't want to sound cold, but maybe they can go to another county if they don't want to take the help from our services.
Well, we've got to take a break here, but we've got a Health and Human Services that's got a $280 million budget, and you're saying we need an evaluation center. It seems to me is that Health and Human Services ought to have the money just to establish one of those right away.
It is something that we were starting to work on, and then I don't want to use COVID as an excuse, but for Health and Human Services, COVID's been all-encompassing for them because they handle public health. But, yes. And those are the things, another reason why I really want us to develop a strategy for coexisting with COVID, because we have other work that needs to get done.
They have a $278 million budget, and they have department heads, and they have deputy department heads, and they have all this. I can't imagine that they couldn't break somebody loose that could probably put one of these together,
in my opinion. I can tell you from having talked to a lot of people in that organization, that is certainly a direction that they want to go. Do we have to perhaps push them a little more aggressively? Sure, we can do that, and we should be doing that. And it's not that they don't want to do that, but we need to be able to help them with that, and we need to make it a priority. And it's certainly a priority for me.
Okay. All right. I can accept that one for now. It's early.
Okay. Yeah. And you know where to find me.
Yeah. Well, I used to.
Yeah, it's true.
You're out of county office's office is shut down.
I know. I have to sit outside now. It's cold.
It's cold. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. You know, they work also on appointments to, if you want to come in and take a look at that great selection of firearms or all the accessories, or you need something worked on your firearms, this is a great time to do it. Give John Bastiani a call at 222-8222 and just give him a call and then come on in and get everything that you need to continue shooting this year or learning how to shoot or to get your guns fixed. All this is at Bastiani Arms, locally owned, locally operated, been in the business for 10 years. John Bastiani and Bastiani Arms. We'll be right back, 7:47 in the morning, 42 degrees out there.
East of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
If you think mainstream media is telling you the truth about critically important issues, think again. Do you want factually verifiable answers to your questions? The Real News Q&A Hour on KCNR Radio, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. will provide factually verifiable answers to your questions. Tune in or call to join in the conversation. Let's fill in the blanks to the questions mainstream media refuses to even ask. This is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.
You win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. 605-4567 is our phone number. It's 41 degrees out there, looking for some rain today. And here on the 6th of January, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. The PPP is starting again for those people who qualify for it. There's some businesses that don't. I'm not going to get into that. But if you need help, it's Cornerstone Community Bank. They were the stalwarts. They were Horatio on the bridge. They were the shining light when it got to get helping people get that Paycheck Protection Program check to them. Located right here in town, two branches right here in town at 1845 California Street, and also in the O'Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. It's locally owned. This is a community bank, locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They are moving dreams forward and have been through this whole COVID mess. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm here with Joe Comente, chairman of the Board of Supervisors, and let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, good morning. Sorry that I didn't, that my producer didn't get my attention. He did everything. He did everything but pour a bucket of water on me. And I was just ignoring him. It was my fault. Okay.
Was he flashing a lightsaber?
Yeah. He was flashing light. We have a flashing light here. It's bright yellow, and you flash it if you have a guest. And he was flashing it, and I was just kind of, I don't know. I noticed it.
No worries. You were deep in thought.
Deep in thought. Yeah, or whatever.
Mr.
call it.
Manti, I'd like to ask a question that a lot of people are wondering about. Now, this that Nick touched on is you folks wanted Measure A to raise taxes to build a jail. And then what I'm wondering is you already have a courthouse and a building next door where other legal administrations are and the Board of Supervisors. You still have City Hall, and you're doing all this work downtown to revamp it. You're building a multi-story parking lot, and here you folks are building a multi-story courthouse with all the mod cons, and you're telling me that you guys couldn't get enough money to build at least something to house criminals that should be incarcerated or locked up and get taken off our streets. That doesn't make sense to me, and it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. So, you know, I'd like for you to explain that to us, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, Jimmy, thanks.
So the biggest challenge we had was there were times that the county was offered money to build these facilities post AB 109. And for whatever reasons, and they're not pertinent at this point in time because we didn't do it, we gave that money back. We didn't have enough money for operation. So what the design was for Measure A was all-encompassing. So it included building a structure, being able to carry a bond on the structure, being able to staff the structure, being able to staff the sheriff's office, being able to staff the police department and probation office, public defender, the DA. The question's a very good one, and we are continuing to look to see if there's grant funds floating around that will allow us to do that. Again, I don't want to use COVID as an excuse, but it has certainly been all encompassing for everyone in the state, everyone in the country, and perhaps in the world. But
county courthouse funding came. That didn't come out. Did that come out of our funds?
No. That's California.
That was a California thing. So it wasn't like that we funded that.
No.
Because there are other things that would be more important than that.
Correct.
Like the jail.
Correct.
And then the building, like the new parking structure, that's privately owned.
Correct.
So
that's block 7. That's not anything.
Yeah. And that's in the city here. So.
Right. Right, but the
question's a good
question.
Point's
well made that there I believe there are funds out there, and I am a firm believer that since the state of California takes so much from us, that we need to be aggressive getting back as much as we possibly can. So, I certainly would like to see us get those funds and get the facilities built that we need.
The CARE funding that came in. How much came to the county?
I want to say it was 22 was designated. We got 18.
Okay.
Originally,
was that million?
Yes. That was designed to go to help government subsidize the management process. We pulled money out, obviously, for business, and we will look for more monies to do that. Our primary focus now is on pumping money into businesses.
Did the county lay off anybody?
No, that I know of.
So everybody in the county is essential.
Correct.
The pregnant pause. It's because this is what, you know, people are upset about.
I understand. I certainly understand.
That $4 million went to the businesses that are paying all the taxes, or not all the taxes.
Correct.
They're paying so much. And then the rest of it went into keeping the government. I mean, you say for management. What does that mean?
There's costs to contact tracing. There's costs to managing COVID-19. There are manpower. And there's a matter of fact, I think I gave it to you a while ago. I don't have it with me. I probably have it in my file. There's a budget that was put together where monies could go and where monies would go.
I do remember seeing that.
Yeah. But I am of the mindset that budgets are just that. They're budgets, and you can move monies around if you need to, and that's certainly still on the table to do.
You know, one of the things, we've only got like about a minute left, so it's not fair throwing this out there now, but I'm not even going to bring it up right now because I don't have enough time, but it has to do with salaries of some of the leaders of our divisions there that are working for less money than they were 2 years ago that people probably don't even know about.
Right, and that's a very sore subject, as you can imagine, for reasons that we've already discussed, because people, and rightfully so, saying they may not be getting the money they deserve, and specifically, to me, it's the sheriff and the district attorney, because they've never gotten the pay bump that came with their promotions, and that's a significant amount of responsibility.
I don't understand why that was done. I mean, that to me would be automatic. You get the bigger job, you get what goes along with it.
I am doing some research just to find out where all of that has landed, but understandably so.
The DA's been there for 2 years.
Four years,
and she hasn't gotten the DA's pay that Steve Carlton got before her.
That is my understanding. I don't know exact numbers, but I'm in the process of getting that information. But we put it on the agenda.
Sounds to me like gender discrimination.
It got voted down.
It got voted down.
Yeah.
What was the vote?
It was 3-2.
Really?
Yeah.
So I imagine that if it comes up again, it may be another 3-2 vote.
I certainly would. I'm going to do more research on it. Mm-hmm. But I am not about giving pay raises in a time like this.
I understand that.
But I really have an issue when you ask someone to take on the responsibilities that you ask a district attorney to take on and you ask a sheriff to take on, which are significant liabilities, that their compensation should be commensurate with what they're
paid. At least for what the guy in front of them was being paid.
I would think. And it's certainly, and I'll say this publicly because I've told both of them, it's still on my radar because I'm the one that initiated it back in mm-hmm. December. But to everything, there is a time. And right now we're still managing through getting the board chambers open if that's what we decide to do. What's the strategy look like moving forward in a COVID world? But that's certainly in my mind another issue that needs to be addressed.
Okay. Joe Comente, thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on your chairmanship there.
Thank you.
And because in today's world, that vote could have gone anyway.
So true. There was silence in the beginning, so yeah. I was like, okay.
And so the chief of police is supposed to be joining us right after the break here, and I'm sure he'll be here.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Daughter-in-law Laura Trump firing up the crowd.
You might hear otherwise from the mainstream media. You might hear otherwise from the Democrats. This fight has only just begun.
Fight for Trump, the theme of the gathering with Donald Trump Jr. urging congressional Republicans to do just that.
You have an opportunity today. You can be a hero. Or you can be a zero. And the choice is yours, but we are all watching.
Donald Trump Jr. saying the election was marred by glaring irregularities and statistical impossibilities. Control of the U.S. Senate hangs in the balance, votes being counted in the two Georgia runoffs. If the Democrats win both of the races, they take the Senate. Democrat Raphael Warnock has declared victory over Republican incumbent Kelly Loeffler. Loeffler, though, is not conceding, saying there are still a lot of votes out there. The other race between Republican incumbent David Perdue and Democrat John Ossoff still too close to call. Wall Street, the Dow's up 470 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy!
As tens of thousands of people across the European Union start rolling up their sleeves for the coronavirus vaccine, one corner of the continent is left out.
Balkan nations such as Bosnia and Serbia have struggled to get access to COVID-19 vaccines from multiple companies and programs. Most of the nations on Europe's southeastern periphery are still waiting for their first vaccines to arrive, with no firm timeline for the start of their national inoculation drives. One expert has told regional TV network 24, the rich have grabbed all the available lifeboats, leaving the less fortunate behind. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Hong Kong police have arrested 53 former lawmakers and democracy proponents for allegedly violating the new national security law. by taking part in unofficial election primaries for the territory's legislature last year. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A prediction that the coronavirus vaccination effort will gain momentum, but it could take a while to achieve the desired results.
The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, now says it may be early October before enough people have been vaccinated against the coronavirus.
Between 70 and 85% of the population that's vaccinated to give what I would consider good herd immunity, by that time, you could start thinking about returning to some degree of normality.
Fauci says the vaccination effort's slow start was caused by two drawbacks, the holiday season and because it is a new program just getting off the ground. He expects to soon see more than a million shots being given each day. Tim McGuire, Washington.
Protests in the streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin last night. Unrest after the local DA declined to file criminal charges against a white police officer who shot a black man last summer. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo. Yes, it's hump day. It's 8:05 in the morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on the in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. Today, the 6th of January, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. And I've got Jared at the helm, and Jared is got the weather.
All right. It's currently 39 degrees right now downtown. Today we have showers likely with a high of 48, a low of 35. Tomorrow it's going to be mostly sunny, then a chance of showers with a high of 55 and a low of 40. On Friday we have a slight chance of showers in the morning, and it's likely going to become sunny with a high of 55, a low of 34. And on Saturday it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 58 and a low of 35.
Okay. Did you say showers today? Supposedly.
Looks like we got about a 70% chance today.
Okay. I hope it's later. I hope it's like 9:30. It doesn't look like it's going to start right now because I have a bunch of cardboard in the back of my truck. I'm cleaning. We're cleaning, getting rid of. Is anybody, you know, if there's something that you've thought that you've wanted but you can never find it, give me a call or text me because there's a good chance that it's somewhere in all the stuff I have. Inflatable boats, things like this, stuff. There's some things I don't have any of, and there's things I have five of that I haven't figured it out how it works out. Anyway, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, who is located in Anderson. It's a veteran-owned business, Chuck and Judy Kinney, and they give discounts to seniors and veterans. And during the November, during Veterans Day and, you know, the month of November, they gave extra discounts to veterans. And this is the kind of people they are. I can't say enough about them and what they do for our community. And you can reach them at 365-3793. Okay. It appears the voters in Georgia have spoken, and which is going to have a severe. Well, I don't know, severe. We'll have to see what kind of impact it's going to have on our country. But it looks like the Democrats have won one outright, but then I'm not sure. But now it looks like it could be actually sweep the election and have two Democrats go into the Senate, which then makes it 50-50, which means then that Kamala Harris, the proposed vice president, will have the deciding vote. It'll be interesting to see what happens if that indeed stays true. The other thing, the PPP came out, the Paycheck Protection Plan program. And one of the things is that you've had to have a 25% loss last year from this year. And if you remember, the last one is, you know, you showed what your payroll was the year before, and you just got paid for that payroll from the year before so you could keep your people working. And, you know, when COVID first started, tremendous loss of jobs and all this. Well, COVID's still going on, And the big point here is that the 25%. So many businesses have been busting their butt ever since this thing started. And so they've only lost 20% or 15%. And you do not qualify for the program now. So if, even though you lost 20% of your income, gross income, from this time last year, you do not qualify for the Paycheck Protection Program. And if you think of all those huge businesses, huge corporations got millions and millions of dollars, including our governor, Gavin Newsom. Shame, shame. Okay. Gavin Newsom getting millions of dollars for his businesses, and now you've got small businesses here because they've worked extremely hard and got the and only lost 20%. They don't qualify for the Paycheck Protection Program. Where is the fairness in this? I sent an inquiry to Congressman LaMoffa's office, and so for his people are getting back to me on this. Where did they come up with 25%? If you made as much money last year as you, you know, during COVID, and some businesses did, let's just say it, you know, construction businesses and this, they made as much money as they made the year before. But restaurants, you know, small businesses, all these may have, you know, they only lost 20%, and that's not enough. Anyway, another example of people who get paychecks every 2 weeks making these decisions. I, however, am honored here at the beginning of our year to have Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler with me. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Sorry, a little scheduling snafu this morning.
Well, you know, I talked to Mary yesterday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Well, no, she sent me an email.
Oh, okay.
And, she, you know, and I, no, it's the same day.
Yeah.
No, you're okay. You're okay. I had to get this out of my system about this Paycheck Protection Program that's been foisted on us. That, you know, you've got to lose 25% of your income. 22 is not enough, or 23 or 24% of your income is not enough. It's 25%. I don't understand these guys. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
You still got this thing on your face.
Yeah.
You know what? You're not the only one that's come in here and had beards. And I said, I thought that was No Shave November.
It was. And then No Shave November. I've had, you know, a lot of requests from our officers to look at extending it. And there are other agencies in other areas of the country that allow neatly trimmed beards. And so I looked into it a little bit, extended it through December, and now I've extended it for a few more months as we kind of give it a trial and error and see how it works. But I have some pretty happy officers, some not so happy wives, but yeah.
Have you tried putting your gas mask on with them?
Yeah, so we have some very strict regulations about how long it can be. It has to be to the point where you can wear a gas mask, and they have to go through the fit test process to make sure they can wear them. So.
Okay. Have you noticed that I would have never known you had gray? You know, there's no gray in your hair, but oh my gosh.
Yeah, a little bit of wisdom. I don't know what it is. So this is the first time in my life. I've been a police officer for, you know, 27 years, and I've never grown a beard for more than, you know, just for No Shave November for anything longer than a month. So it's interesting. And
well, in the
it won't last. I'll
in the Marine Corps, you know, we there's mustaches.
Yeah.
But the way they had them, the rules on how they have to look,
right?
It's very, very difficult. So we call them war mustaches. If you're deployed and you're in a combat zone, the mustaches would come out.
Sure.
And it would raise the ire of senior officers that the mustache doesn't meet regulations, Colonel Bott. Well, okay, sir. I'll see you again. And then hear him yelling at captains for having mustaches that were less, let's say, full than
yeah.
mine.
Yeah, so. We have strict regulations on mustaches too, length. You know, down to the crook of the mouth and things like that.
It has to be like, for ours, it was a quarter inch above the lip. Oh. I mean, we tried to get that done. I mean, it just made it so hard that most people didn't.
Sure.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and take an early break, and come back, and let's talk about what you foresee is going to happen this year.
Okay.
And by the way, I would like to give the thanks of our community for what you've done down there by the post office and the Veterans Hall and that whole street there. Your guys have done a great job down there.
Yeah, they've really, really put a lot of effort and focus on that area to try and clean it up and make it safe for our post office and for the restaurants and businesses that are down there.
Yeah, but I tell you what, when I noticed it, I can tell you the day I even noticed it was 2 days before Election Day, back in November.
Yeah.
You all swept through there because so many people were going to go down there, of course, to vote. That was the Veterans Hall is a polling center. And I have not seen anybody back. Maybe one person, but he's a guy that's been there for years.
Yeah, it's constant maintenance, and it's required coordination between all the shifts. It's required coordination mostly by our neighborhood police unit, our mm-hmm. community work program officers, and Brian Berg, he's mostly our downtown officer, and coordination with all the other shifts just to make sure we're continually there over and over
wow.
and over.
Wow, but I tell you what, whatever it is you're working, it's working because you don't have the problem that we had down there. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair and Jeff Wurst, a veteran-owned business. He's been doing this for decades. And there's nobody that knows more about repairing windshields than Jeff Wurst, truly from the old school. Whether it's a chip in your windshield or a crack over 2.5 feet in length, Jeff can fix it. Those little chips get water in them. It's cold. If it goes to freezing, it could expand that chip into a crack. So have him fix those before they become a real problem. Don't take a chance with your family's safety. Get that windshield fixed. Give them a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today or stop by 3208 South Market Street. 42 degrees out there. We've got a 70% chance of rain, 8:15 in the morning here on the 6th of January. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The Backo and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backo and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backo and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backo and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
We are Women of Vision. We have exciting news. We will no longer be on for Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Our new home will be with North State Now, last Thursday of the month, starting January 2021.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show where every Thursday night a different host highlights people, places, entertainment, local heroes, arts, and women of vision.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women. Join us for North State Now, last Thursday of the month, 6 to 7 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebach. 605-4567 is our phone number today, 8:20 in the morning, and the 6th of January. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Not too late. Just run down there and get a Christmas present. if somehow you struck out, go on down there and ask... ask them, what can I do? Ask Rebecca, what can I do? You know, like, it's been a tough year. She's there to help you. And they have a great selection of jewelry and at very, very fair prices. And they're located at 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Redding, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding, Four Winds Jewelry. We're here with Redding Police Chief Bill Schuler. And we had talked about that one street there at the post office in the Veterans Hall where what's the name of that store?
Yuba. Oh, Yuba Street. Oh,
yeah, the Yuba Street.
Carnegie's Restaurant and Carousel.
Carousel and all that. But it takes an intensive amount of manpower to do that.
Right. It's maintenance. It's constant maintenance. It's daily going out there and making sure that something doesn't get established there. So, you know, when we take on a project like that, that means other areas might have to suffer just because of the manpower issues that come along with that. But we look at areas, we call them POP or problem-oriented policing projects. It's a community policing mentality, and we'll pick certain areas that are having reoccurring problems and focus our attention in there. And then when things change, then we'll divert our attention to other locations. In a real world, and I'm very hopeful, and you and I have talked about this before, but we'll know later this month if I can get those after the sales tax numbers come into the city, whether we'll be able to move forward and hire four officers for downtown, and then we'll be able to put a lot of energy in downtown.
If the numbers are good, I would every time somebody runs for city council, it's their first priority is safety.
Yeah, sure.
Safety. And sometimes you don't see that in the decisions that are being made. But the fact of putting a four-person unit right downtown here would be a super step forward.
Because, yeah, I think it would be.
Because they could spread out from right down here. When you say downtown, what do you mean downtown?
I mean the core of downtown. So really it would, you know, it would be very flexible. It would be, you know, from as far as Sequoia maybe down to the school down there, up, you know, into the areas, the residential areas west of downtown a little bit. It'll be our parks and trails down on River Trail. It'll be – their area will expand. It's really going to be very fluid once we get started. They'll run out of the downtown substation that we have now, and they'll be on bikes. So basically anywhere that – those fancy electric bicycles that were donated to us, anywhere they can go on those, they'll be.
I want you to know that the accident rate for electric bicycles is like –
100 times more than regular bicycles.
Yeah, it's different. And we have a pretty rigorous training program that our officers have to go through before they can start riding those. Because you're right. I mean, you get on that bike and you push the button, and all of a sudden you're doing 30 miles an hour. And
do a face plant at 30 miles an hour and see what happens.
Yep.
Okay, so if you put a substation and you drew a circle around it, I guess that where I live, because I live over close downtown, would be in that circle.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
It just really depends on the level of activity and work. I mean, initially it might be more center, right downtown center focus on the businesses that are down here and all the new residential that's coming in. I mean, we expect the population of downtown to grow significantly as these new housing, apartments are getting filled up. And so it may focus around there initially and as the development continues. But then, again, as things settle, we might expand and move around.
I ask this every year, but is it getting more violent out there?
It sure seems like it.
I mean, this is all anecdotal to me.
Right.
But it seems like there's more violence going on.
Well, there's definitely more violence with our police officers. Our officers are encouraging more and more violent, are having more and more violent encounters with bad guys, with people that are committing crimes. The willingness to fight is much stronger than it used to be, and that's totally because of punishment. There isn't any. There's very little punishment for fighting with police officers anymore.
You mean if somebody assaults a policeman?
Right.
And you'll see that every so often. They don't go to jail?
Well, it's a misdemeanor crime to fight with a police officer. If you injure an officer, it's a wobbler. It can be a felony. But, again, as we've talked about time and time again, there's the whole criminal justice system is changed, and our jail is full. So... the sheriff is struggling with trying to get inmates that need to be in prison out and to make more room for local offenders. And it's just so a misdemeanor crime is not something that somebody's going to stay in jail for. They're just not.
There was a question earlier today to Joe Comente, who was in here. Is there going to be just on the ballot, maybe an initiative that says build a jail only? Forget everything else that goes along with it.
Sure.
Just enough to keep to build the jail, keep it running, and keep the other jail running. And he said, this is just, it's not a good time right now.
Yeah, timing is everything. We've discovered that on a couple different ballot measures. But we do need a jail. We need a minimum security facility that has a combination of work programs and rehabilitation, drug treatment, mental health treatment, all for that misdemeanor type crime, that low level stuff that's plaguing our community.
That we can lock them up, and then can we put people out on work programs?
Yeah.
They have to volunteer for that?
No, there are work programs can be assigned as part of their, by the court as part of their punishment. If they don't do it, they should just get locked up. But we do still have work programs. COVID has made that much more difficult. We've had a hard time getting a work program with our community work program officers because they're not allowed to come with us. Work programs would be a fantastic idea. And then if you have the rehabilitation side on top of that to try and help break that cycle and get people out of it, that's great. But if they choose not to do it, then at least we have a place to lock them up.
The community service officer, how many do we have now?
We have 15, I believe. I have 9. Doing math in my head real quick. So we have 9 assigned to patrol, so 3 on every shift, day shift, and our swing shift in the afternoon. And then again on the weekends on the 12-hour side, we have ones that work 12.5-hour shifts. On a day shift side, so 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Actually, they work a modified shift, but anyway. So they're there on the weekends. And then we have a couple assigned to other things like abandoned vehicle abatement. We have a CSO. We're up to 11. We have one missing person, so we're at 11. We have 15
in 2008. How's that working? CSO, to me, it's been such an important part of being able to free up.
The CSOs are an incredible asset. They take all those lower non-priority or lower priority calls from the officers. So your house gets burglarized, your car gets broken into, your credit card stolen, You know, there's a theft from your business overnight, whatever those things are, they handle those and they write a lot of police reports. They are very, very busy. But by having them there, that leaves the gun toters, the officers, to go out and be proactive and deal with things like Yuba Street, to go deal with drug houses, to do traffic enforcement, to do all of those other things. And then again, be available to emergency calls. And that, you know, that's really transferred to our response times. Our response times have dropped almost in half.
Yeah, I know.
For emergency calls. Yeah. So it's made a huge difference. I think CSO bang for, you know, dollar for dollar, they are the bang for your buck. I mean, they are very valuable employees. It also gives somebody a stepping stone. If they want to be a CSO and go, I don't know, you know, fighting with bad guys and arresting people is my thing, but I really want to be in law enforcement, maybe I'll try this job. And some folks love it and they stay in it. Others become police officers. We have one CSO right now who just started the academy this week. He applied to be a recruit police officer, and we're putting him through the academy, and we'll be hiring another CSO here shortly. So,
well, you've already seen him, you know,
watching him work
and everything. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Exactly.
We're here with Reading Police Department Chief Bill Schuller. We're talking about the CSOs. That's been a very valuable addition to the department, because we had to turn them all loose back in the terrible 2008 time frame.
Sure did.
But now they can take care of things. We had a somebody sideswiped us, and we had a community service officer years ago, back before. And you know, she's very professional, took reports, gave us everything we needed, and we didn't have a sworn officer there, but then we didn't need one.
Right. Yeah, they can even write traffic, once they're trained, they can even write traffic citations for traffic collisions. So if there's an at-fault collision, they can write the citation.
Are these guys out here doing the checking the parking tickets?
No. They do some, but they mostly do the handicapped enforcement in the larger complexes.
All right.
They're busy enough taking reports.
Yeah. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. Nick, hang on to the other side, and we'll get to you. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop works on appointments and has been for even before the COVID. And you can you don't have to worry about your safety there. Everybody gets disposable drapes. You know, they're separated, the whole thing, mask. And you get an outstanding haircut. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is community? A location? A place to live and work? Or is it something more profound? A force deeper than words can describe, uniting us to reach out and support each other. No matter the trial or circumstance, we are one. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to stand strong with our community. We know we can get through anything when we do it together. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back,
not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Good morning, everybody. It's 8:35 in the morning here on the 6th of January. It's 42 degrees out there with a 70% chance of rain. We need the rain. We need snowpacks, so we can kind of hope that it happens. If it rains every other day, we can handle that. The weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. We're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler, and Nick's on the phone. Nick, good morning.
It is. It's still a good morning. Hey, Bill, I like you, and I like your officers, and I think they're doing a wonderful job for what they have to work with. Their frustration must bleed out of them.
True.
But I'm very frustrated when I call up and suggest we build a jail and just a jail and leave it at that and gather up the criminals. And Comente goes on about rehabbing them and this. Yeah, we need a jail, but we need to rehab them. And you do the same thing. I remember not that long ago that the police chief, I don't know if it was you or Roger Moore, was saying that the police are spending more time doing social work where that's not their job description, and you'd like them to just be able to take care of criminals and push the social work off on the social workers. And here you go, yeah, we need a jail, but we need to rehab them, and we need to do this and get them back in society. It's my desire that you enforce the law and make sure they're locked up and leave it at that and let somebody else worry about those other problems, because it's not working.
Yeah, so the rehabilitation I'm talking about is custodial rehabilitation, which is what happens in a custodial facility. It's actually required in California and required in a lot of areas, and the sheriff can talk more about that. But we have to there are people, and I've been as part of the drug court. I've seen people that and I'm on the Community Corrections Partnership Board, and I've seen people that have been able to change their lives after being arrested and become good citizens, tax-paying good citizens in our community.
What percentage?
Well, off the top of my head, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But those people are out there. Now, but they have to be willing and able, and some of the laws that have changed.
That's the key right there, and I agree. Willing and able, and you've got judges sentencing them to rehab.
Right.
And they don't want to go.
Well, actually, and part of the changes in the law with post-community release supervision, AB 109, is it's really turned it to more of the rehabilitation side, and we've seen some issues with that. We still, and I 100% agree with you, we have to have the jail space to hold people accountable that aren't willing and able, that don't want to get rehabilitated and don't want to be productive members of our society, and that is a large chunk of those. And so we have to have that in order to enforce the law and hold people accountable. Agree with you?
And we don't have it.
We don't have it, and we do need another facility. We do need an expanded work program. And a place to put folks that are recommitting crimes over and over and over again. Absolutely agree with you.
Good. So let's work on that and let somebody else work on the social issues.
Yeah, the social issue is not, you know, the police department is not involved in the social issues other than the fact that we, you know, we keep dealing and arresting with the same people over and over again, and there is a lot of addiction in our community. And if we can get some of those people away from rehabilitated and off drugs and actually being productive members, and that's one less person we have to deal with over and over and over again, and we can focus on other areas. So
yeah, but if you lock them up for a year or two, you don't have to deal with them over and
sure,
over and over
then,
again either. That's my attitude.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I agree.
And,
but if they want
to, if they come up with some kind of measure to build a jail and a navigation center and a rehab center, I'm going to vote against it, and I'm going to encourage everybody else. We need to separate them, and that's how I feel about it, and I wish that our representatives would listen to their constituents.
Well, again, like I said, there is a lot of legislation out there, a lot of laws that require rehabilitation in the custodial facility. So we can't ignore that law and just build a jail and hold people. It'll never happen. So we have to have that rehabilitation component and that mental health component built into that. It's just, it's, it has to be there.
Okay, thanks a lot, Nick.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, depending on how the elections turn out, and it'll all lean in that direction, if the Democrats take the Senate, which it looks like right now, but I'm not sure, things aren't finished there, and everything else goes on the way. So you've got a Democratic president, you've got a Democratic-controlled House of Representatives, and a Democratic-controlled Senate. Impact on law enforcement.
Well, there's definitely some concerns there because I don't know exactly what the what kind of new police reform legislation will come out of that. There is some legislation that could be beneficial where we talk about enhanced training standards and enhanced hiring standards on national level, a database of officers that you know that have committed misconduct and gone through the entire legal process and an independent arbitrator or somebody else has upheld their misconduct, that we could put those officers on that database so they can't get hired somewhere else. You know, psychological standards, that a lot of what California already does, if you did it on a national level, that would be good. But there's also some, you know, I look at, for example, what happened with Jacob Blake yesterday. Jacob Blake was the young man that was shot in Minnesota, I believe it was,
yeah.
Or Wisconsin.
He was one that was shot. He's still alive, but paralyzed.
Yeah, he's paralyzed, and he had a knife in his hand. And the DA yesterday, I watched most of his press conference, he, you know, was very articulate and talked about the things that Jacob Blake did. Yet, people are not listening to that district attorney who made that, you know, had an independent investigation, even hired an outside use of force investigator, and they're making their own assumptions and not listening to the evidence. And that's the kind of thing that I worry about, that officers are going to get prosecuted for things, for doing their job and acting within the current law, or they're going to change the law to make it even more difficult for us to do our job, and officers get killed or injured, or they get to the point where they just won't engage with people anymore because the risk is too high.
Well, Baltimore went through that when they those four officers they arrested because the guy was injured and died in the back of the van. There's four or six officers of all
right.
Of all races, by the way,
right.
Involved in this, and they brought homicide charges against them, and there was a big back off
right.
And immediately from other officers that said, "Look, if you're going to get us for this." And now Baltimore's got one of the highest murder rates or shooting rates in the United States, as have these other cities. And defund the police, is that something that you think would happen on the national level?
I don't think so, because the locals, we don't get any federal funding other than some grants we apply for sometimes. So I don't think, I'm not too worried about that. Our funding is all local generated through sales tax and property tax and other things through the general fund with the city. So I don't see that happening. I certainly don't see this community supporting something like that. But I could see that happening. It is already happening in other big cities. We are recruiting from those other cities that have defunded and are laying officers off. In fact, we're hiring an officer from Portland right now. He starts in a couple of weeks.
Combat proven.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I mean, he is. He did grow up here, and in fact, he went to law school, graduated from law school, and decided to get into law enforcement. And so, yeah, we're hiring him, and he'll be here next week to start, and been in Portland for several years. So
I would love if you could set it up for us to bring him in to see what his take as a law enforcement officer was in Portland.
You
think that would be...
No, that'd be fine. I think once we get him through his training and he's on his own, and I think it would be good for him to come in here and talk about his experiences there versus here and the differences in the law.
We'd love to do that sometime this year. Let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I try to make it fast. My concern's the lack of... what I consider necessary signaling. I've been calling Public Works, Public Safety for 20 years, and I guess the first fellow I spoke to was long retired now. But it's at the intersection of Hilltop and Cypress going westbound. That's a horrible intersection going westbound. You can be on Cypress waiting for the red light to turn green in number two car, and guess what? You get caught on the red light out in the middle, because all those people making rights, probably onto the 5 South, making rights from Hilltop, they're in there too. They really need a right turn arrow button, an arrow light right there. If a commercial truck, for example, is waiting to get on the 5, I mean, that's huge. And from 7 to about 10 in the morning, that's awful. I was at number 3 car one time at the same interval I'm telling you about. And I was caught right in the middle. And there was some PA system of RPD, white car, move or you know, will be ticketed. I mean, there was no place for me to go unless I was going to ram a guy making trying to make right. And I've called about it, and, you know, I won't go west on that intersection. No, I'll go way down Hartnell and then connect back into town.
Okay.
On Cypress.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
The signaling, whatever you can do, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and I know that intersection is up for discussion for a right turn green, constant green or almost constant green arrow pocket, whatever you want to call that. I'm not a traffic engineer. I don't know what they call it exactly, but I know there have been discussions about that.
Okay. All right. So let's hope that gets changed. 8:46 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Tobacco and Brew has been in the business for several decades, and they provide great service. Anything that has anything to do with tobacco, they can take care of you, whether it's cigars or lighters, humidors, pipe tobacco. They have it all, and the current special is a grab bag with 3 cigars for $24.99, and they're great cigars there. That's Tobacco and Brew. They do a lot for our community, help a lot of our 501s out there that do good, you know, that do good things for our community. Tobacco and Brew supports that, and of course the veterans. Tobacco and Brew is a strong supporter of veterans. We'll be right back after these messages.
like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during the lowest prices of the season, the Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 Smart Bed is only $899. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Merry Christmas from Reading Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility. On behalf of all RU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember, holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember, never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Reading Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2019 and wishes you and your family a prosperous new year.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Don't give up on your tomorrow. At Shasta College, we're offering more 8-week compressed classes, more online support, and more financial aid to help with life, not just textbooks and tuition. Whether it's online or in person, we'll continue to teach, encourage, and inspire, just like we have for over 70 years. Spring classes start January 19th. Enroll at shastacollege.edu. Start your tomorrow today.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Tomorrow we're going to have Greg Hayward from Reading Rancheria on, talking about what's going to be happening this year on the medical side of the clinics and the expansion of the clinics here in Shasta County and Trinity County to help people that are on Medi-Cal, Medicaid, so it takes a big load off our emergency rooms and other overworked organizations around here. And he'll be on at 8 o'clock. I think we got a couple of surprises at 7, too. 8:52 in the morning, and it's a 70% chance of rain today here on the 6th of January, and our guest is Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller. And we've been talking about possible changes that are, that may happen under the new administration that might make it harder for our police officers. The ones for the, you know, if you're a believer in the Second Amendment, I think you better kind of like, you know, grab your socks and hang on here too, because who knows what they're going to do.
Yeah, that is definitely a worry. It's already difficult for us even even a, you know, an officer who wants to buy ammunition now is that's even a difficulty.
You have to go through the background checks too, right?
I can write a letter that's good for 30 days for each officer to go buy ammo, so they don't have to go through the process. I write a lot of letters, almost a couple a day. But you have to be a full-time peace officer, and I write the
yeah,
letter.
I was pointing yeah. at me going, yeah. me, me? Yeah. No.
And so I worry about that. I worry about a lot of things to do with that because, you know, we have officers that have purchased their own AR-15s to use, and who knows what will happen with that. And so there's a lot of unknowns out there.
Oh, no, I think that officers haven't. They just don't want civilians, citizens, to be able to arm themselves.
Well, and true. And then you have the issue of what happens when that officer retires and what he has to do with that gun that he purchased and he has used his throughout his career. So there's just lots of unknowns that worry me. Ammunition is already difficult, even for us to get. We struggled this year because I know a lot of people were buying it up before the election. And even for us to buy in bulk for our officers to train with was very difficult. So we're
7 million people, 2 boxes of ammunition. That's 700 new gun owners.
Yeah.
Last year set a new record every month. If you just figure 2 boxes of ammunition at 700 million rounds, and they usually buy the the types of ammunition that officers carry.
Yeah, it's difficult. So
what do you see happening for you or for the police department in the next? We got like 5 minutes or 4 minutes. For this year,
we're going through the trying to hire folks, and it has become very difficult. We have less and less applicants. It seems like every time we open it up, we have less and less applicants. Lateral transfers are non-existent. The officer from Portland was an exception. We have another one in the hopper right now, or a couple of them we're looking at, but it's gotten very competitive. For example, the city of Paradise is offering a $20,000 or $30,000 hiring bonus. There are other cities in California that are offering. We have a $7,500 signing bonus, so you get half when you get hired and half when you complete probation. And it's to help with moving expenses and other things like that. But we're kind of under in there, and our trying to be competitive on salary and benefits is also difficult. So it's a struggle, and just the funding movement and all the criticism on law enforcement in the last year has made hiring difficult. So we're recruiting in those defunded places. We're going to police academies. We're going to colleges. We're going everywhere we can to try and get folks interested in coming to work for us.
You should have one of the officers down to Camp Pendleton because they have every month they have, probably hundreds and hundreds of Marines that are now leaving the service. Great records and all this that would probably like to go into law enforcement.
Right, and there are programs in the military. I know LAPD has a program with the military where the soldier can actually start the process while they're still in the military and go through the academy and start that whole process so that when they actually are discharged, they can start the job right away. So
that's a good idea.
I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah, it could probably be using their educational benefits to do that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yep.
So the recruiting of people, it's going to be, I think you're right, I think it's just going to be harder because here in Reading, though, we're kind of, again, we're up here, we're in this common sense bubble.
Yeah, we are. And, once folks get here, they usually stay here, or at least stay in this community. It's just getting them here. When you're a policeman at agency for a while and you come up here, you lose everything you've accrued. You lose your seniority. And maybe you have family down there. So there's just a lot of things to think about. Most of the officers that we get that are laterals come either have family here or they have a spouse who has family here or they, grew up here or whatever it may be. The majority have some tie to this North State and that's why they come. We're not getting a lot of folks that just have zero ties, although we did interview some folks from the Bay Area that wanted to come up here for that very reason just a couple of weeks ago, an officer that wanted to get out of the Bay Area, didn't have any reason to come here other than somebody told him, hey, you should go look at Reading. It's a good place to work. So we're moving forward with looking at him.
Okay. Do you expect any changes except for the pandemic from what's been going on in the past?
No, I know there's pending legislation right now. There's going to be a lot of new legislation locally in California on police reform. One bill that's out there right now is to make the minimum hiring age of 25 or have a bachelor's degree. We have about 60% of our staff have bachelor's degrees. A little about 10% have master's degrees. And I think there is a benefit to education. But what happens is if you make that decision, we're going to lose, like we were talking about, those military members that go into the military at 18 and they're coming out at 22 or 23 years of age. They have a lot of experience and training that would be very beneficial for us to hire them. And most of those go back to school while they're working. But, yeah, so that's a problem. I think that excludes a large majority of the population that could come into this job. So I'm concerned about that one. And just to see what else shows up from our folks in Sacramento. It's going to be an interesting year.
Well, there's a bunch of people down there protesting today, as they are in other places. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens down there. You never expect violence when people are, you know, from the more conservative side are out there.
Right.
You know, the mainstream conservatives, you don't usually see violence or anything like that. But you never can tell with everything that's going on. You know, people, they're already on edge because of COVID.
Right, and we have a very fractured nation. It's really about 50-50.
Yeah.
And so you're always going to have half the population unhappy. It's just we'll see. It's going to be an interesting year, for sure.
And we'll end that. We'll end the show on that. So thanks a lot for being with us. Thanks for everything you do. Please pass on that the vast majority of the citizens here, appreciate what you do. And your officers. So
we appreciate it, and we're here for you. So
yeah, well, Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too.
And gosh, another exhausting 2 hours of work put into the archives today. And remember, it is the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.